Today is the last Sunday before our 18th annual Global Impact Celebration. You've been hearing about it. We had our local partners here last week and lots of announcements going out. But I felt it was really important for me to take this Sunday today and really clarify for us as a church what the vision of Global Impact is all about and to even share the heart behind the whole thing in the first place. You know, we have many new people who've joined our church in recent years, and many of the new people have really no idea what Global Impact is, or they're just beginning to understand, or don't have any idea how it all began, the formation of this ministry. And one of the things that I think we all know about life is that when you do something for a while, you often need to have moments of reflection and moments of reminder of why you do what you do. And I feel like some of us who've been a part of this church for a long time perhaps need a little bit of a reminder this morning because things get fuzzy over time. I say it often that I believe our Global Impact Celebration is probably the most important weekend that we have on our church calendar. And I'm absolutely passionate this morning that we remember why that is. And understand why that is. The Global Impact Celebration, which we're going to have this coming weekend, is a celebration of what God has done through our relationships with strategic partners He's connected with us with around the world. But it's more than just a celebration. It's also a time for us as a church and for us as individuals to receive fresh vision for the kingdom of God. And to renew our purpose to fulfill the mission that Jesus gave us and the mission that Jesus has called us to. In the late 90s, remember the 90s? Some of you weren't even alive then. In the late 90s and early 2000s, it was a time in this church when God was pouring out His Holy Spirit. The 90s were electric. The mid to late 90s were electric. There was a time in our church where you never knew what was going to happen on a Sunday morning or on a Friday night. The power of the Holy Spirit was being poured out many times. The message never got preached. Chairs were stacked. We were just praying for people, ministering to people. It was an amazing time. And God was touching our hearts and refreshing us. Many people like myself were impacted during that time radically. But as God was pouring out His Holy Spirit in the 90s and in the early 2000s, there began to be sort of a shift that was happening within this church. And God began to give this church a vision for the nations of the world. And doors of opportunity began to open in various countries around the world. And there was just this stirring in the hearts of many to get involved in short-term missions and in projects that would advance the gospel. And teams of people began to travel out to various places, and we saw God do some amazing things. I remember being on several teams of young people going to Ireland in those days and preaching the gospel on the streets and just seeing hundreds of young people come to Jesus. But as time went by, we began to ask some tough questions as a church about questions like how much impact are we really having in the places that we're going to? And we begin to see how could we be even more strategic in what we're doing? We needed a way to have some clear direction and clear focus as to where we were going to spend our money and where we were going to spend our resources as a church. We wanted to reap a big harvest, but we wanted a harvest that would remain as well. And as doors were opening to different nations and people in our own church were being stirred to get involved in things in our city and in different places around the world, everybody wanted an opportunity on a Sunday morning to promote their own area of interest and what they were passionate about. And that was a fantastic problem to have because people were excited and getting involved and passionate about their areas of interest. But it did create a set of problems because we couldn't do it all, and we couldn't promote everyone's interests, and we couldn't go everywhere where we were invited as a church. And there was this feeling in those days of sort of being scattered here, there, and everywhere, and having a little bit of an impact in a lot of places, but not having a big impact anywhere. And so at that time, or somewhere in there, we heard of this mission strategy called Global Focus. We didn't come up with this Global Focus idea. We heard about this strategy. That was the different churches in the U.S. actually were doing. And so there was a time when we sent a couple scouts from our church because we were curious about it. And so we sent them down to a large church in the USA to observe one of their global impact celebration weekends and to learn about what this global focus strategy was all about and come back and give us a report. And they came back with faith and excitement and a report that sounded really promising. And it was at that time that we had an elders retreat in Wolseley, Saskatchewan. It was the very first elders retreat that my wife and I were a part of. We had just become elders in the church at the time. And so we were invited out, and we didn't know what to expect in this retreat. We were a little bit nervous, maybe even felt a little bit out of place. But I remember this was the retreat where the report was given about this global impact celebration and this strategy and what it would involve in terms of literally hiring a consultant. Still remember, I think it was going to be 20 grand to hire this consultant to come from the U.S., so part of Global Focus, to teach us and equip us and help us as a church develop our own strategy. And we had some lively debate during the day. It just seemed like $20,000. This was a radical idea that we would get some help at this kind of cost. And I remember there was lots of debate going on back and forth. Should we do this? Should we not do this? And somewhere in there, my dad, who is the pastor at the time, suggested we break for supper and come back and have no more discussion, but just have a time of worship and prayer and seeking God and see if He would speak to us and show us what we should do. And that time of worship, I don't know, I think we probably even had my mother's CD player. She used to lead worship at our elders' retreats in those days with her CD player. And somehow God anointed it. Imagine. And I remember there was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in our elders group. And people were literally weeping and crying. And people began to, different ones of our elders began to just prophesy as God just began to speak to us. Many of those people are still in this room today and remember how significant it was. And it was so sovereign that at the end, my dad said, well, I don't think there's any point in discussing this any further. Clearly, the Holy Spirit has spoken. And so we hired Bill Fuller, Global Impact, to come. He spent some time with us that year. And he helped us to narrow our focus to a few so that we could have a real impact with those that we did decide to partner with. And we developed some criteria for who we would say yes to and who we would say no to. And we really believe that God led us to partner with some key people. But it also meant saying no to a lot of really good things. And I can tell you that one of the harder things that I've had to deal with over my years of being the pastor here at this church is telling people no on a regular basis. Who have come to us and said, who especially as word gets out about what has happened here at Harvest City and how we've supported our partners and the money that we've raised, as you can imagine, many want to be a part of it. And so we get regular calls from people wanting us to partner with them and promote what they're doing. And we just can't. And so I've had to say, here's our strategy. Here's how we've done it. And sometimes that's tough. But our decision to focus our efforts, I believe, has borne real and lasting fruit in the areas that we've been involved in. I remember that first year we set a budget of $75,000 and we thought, man, this is going to take great faith for us to raise this kind of money in 1 year. And that first year we raised well over $100,000, and within a couple of years we were raising over $200,000, and here we stand 17 years later. The last total I heard this week was that we've raised almost $4.2 million in the last 17 years. And those monies have supported our mission endeavors in our city, in our nation, and the nations of the world. We've had 17 amazing global impact celebrations, including managing to do one during COVID online for the most part. We've seen literally hundreds of people from this church volunteer during the celebrations to make them a success. And many teams have gone out from this church over the years on short-term mission trips. Thousands have come to Christ. Churches have been established. Through our partnerships, we've been involved in preaching the gospel from the streets of Regina to the mountains of Nepal to the cities of Uganda to the islands of the Pacific, just to name a few. We have helped feed the orphans, minister to the poor, translated scripture into languages that have never had the Bible in their own tongue. And this church has been mobilized and transformed through these last 17 years in a powerful way. Truly, God spoke to us in Wolseley, Saskatchewan. But you know, church, as amazing as this all is, and it is amazing when we look back and see what God has done, I have one major concern that I want to challenge us as a church about this morning. I'm going to take a drink before I do it. My big concern is that as time goes by, that a spirit of apathy towards it all would come upon us. That our desire to give our resources would drop. That our passion to get involved with our partners through volunteering and short-term missions would fizzle out. That our willingness to participate in the global impact celebration would turn into, well, I've been there, I've done that, I got the t-shirt, I don't need to do that this year. In Romans 12, verse 11, the Apostle Paul wrote these words. He said, "Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor in serving the Lord." Now, Paul wrote these words to us after he had written 11 chapters in the book of Romans explaining this incredible salvation that we've received through Jesus Christ. And after in Romans 12, 1 saying, in view of all this mercy that God has given us, give your lives as a living sacrifice to God is the only reasonable thing you could do in light of such mercy and such salvation. And yet 10 verses later, he's urging us to never lose our zeal. And I've often thought, why should Paul ever have to make such a statement to us in view of God's mercy? We should always be living passionate lives. It's the only thing reasonable. But Paul understood human nature. And he understood that over time, we tend to get used to things that at an earlier time once amazed us and provoked us. Many of you can think back to the day when you first encountered Jesus for the first time and you couldn't stop talking about it to anyone you meet. You were so overwhelmed by his mercy and his grace. But what about today? Does his mercy and his grace still move you? Or has it become something that's so normal you've forgotten how great it was? Are we still moved by the souls of men? Are we still moved with the mission of Jesus that he's called us to? Or do we just sort of go through the motions? And we just enjoy coming to church and we really like it when the band is in sync on Sunday morning. No, we have a mission. We have a calling. And we must never lose our fervor in serving the Lord. You know, one of the churches in the book of Revelations was rebuked because they had become lukewarm and had lost their first love. The children of Israel in Scripture, you know, would experience the miracles of God 1 minute and be rejoicing, and then they were grumbling and complaining the next. You see, it doesn't take long when apathy sets in for something great that God, or when apathy sets in and then something great that God is doing becomes lost and nullified. And I don't want to see that ever happen to us. We can have different partners, and different partners will come and go, and we're in the middle of transition right now with some that have been with us for a long time, and the Global Impact Celebration will look a little different depending on who's leading it. But the mission is always the same. And we can't lose sight of the mission that God has given us. And I believe that God would challenge us this morning as a church to renew our vision of what He's called us to. And that we would begin to look at this Global Impact Celebration coming up, and we would begin to look forward and begin to dream about the greater things that God still has for us to do. The greater impact that He wants us to have in the years to come. Is God done with us? Was this just for a season? I don't believe it was just for a season. The mission of Jesus will always be there until He comes, until He returns. And so every year, I think there's something so powerful about this Global Impact Celebration. It's like Christmas. It's like Easter. They're so important to us. They never get old. Because they always remind us, oh yeah, I needed a Savior and He came. Thank you, Jesus. And Global Impact Celebration for us is a reminder, oh yeah, we have a mission to fulfill. We have a purpose in the earth. God has called us to seek and save those who are lost. And it's a reminder to us, yes, shake out of your complacency and your apathy. Let's get on with what Jesus has called us to do. Amen. I said earlier that I believe our Global Impact Celebration is the most important weekend on our church calendar. I'm going to quickly give you a couple reasons this morning as to why I believe that it's crucial. Crucial. Using strong words. Crucial to why we make it a priority next weekend, why you shouldn't be apathetic about it. Here's the first reason. I believe that our Global Impact Celebration is a time for impartation. In Romans 1:11, Paul wrote, I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. I am a big believer that God uses anointed men and women of God to release His supernatural grace upon our lives. You know, one of the things that I began to realize is God has sent me to different places around the world. I've really begun to pray this prayer. Anytime I go to another church, even if it's just a church in Saskatchewan, is going, God, I believe you've given me a passion. You've given me some grace in certain areas of my life. And when I go to one of these places, I don't want to just preach my best sermon, tell my best stories, entertain some folks, and get out. I want to leave a deposit. I want to impart something wherever I go. Whatever you've given to me, let me give it away. And I pray that prayer because I believe in that prayer because I've seen what Paul said. I want to impart some things to you, he said to the people. And because I've experienced that impartation in my own life. A visit to our church from a powerful woman of God named Rachel Hickson 27 years ago left a mark on my life. She imparted something to me when she laid her hands on me, a sense of call that compels me to this day. She's coming to our church in September again of this year. I'm excited to have her back. It's been a while. And I can look back over my life at many different events and meetings I was in where God did something supernatural in my spirit. There are some key meetings where I was a part of. I have no clue what the message was that was preached. You won't remember this message too much in a couple weeks. I know, because I won't. I don't even remember what I preached. But if God is here this morning, something can get into your hearts. And that's part of what I'm praying. God, help me this morning, even as I preach to my own congregation, to impart your heart for the lost this morning. The heart to go, the heart to be a missional, outreaching, evangelistic church. Because it's God's heart. And so I'm believing that this time, with those that are coming, there's going to be an end time of impartation for us if we're ready to receive it. In the Bible, we're told the story of the passing on of the prophetic mantle from Elijah the prophet to his successor, Elisha. Let me read you the story. 2 Kings 2, verse 1, it says, when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were traveling from Gilgal. And as Elijah said to Elisha, this gets a little challenging. Why God couldn't have chosen two completely different names is beyond me. Stay here, for the Lord has told me to go to Bethel. But Elisha replied, as surely as the Lord lives and you yourselves live, I will never leave you. So they went down together to Bethel. The group of prophets from Bethel came to Elisha and asked him, Did you not know that the Lord is going to take your master away from you today? Of course I know, Elisha answered, but be quiet about it. Then Elijah said to Elisha, stay here, for the Lord has told me to go to Jericho. But Elisha replied, as surely as the Lord lives and you yourselves live, I will never leave you. So they went on together to Jericho. Then the group of prophets from Jericho came to Elisha and asked him, did you not know that the Lord is going to take your master away from you today? Of course I know, Elisha answered, but be quiet about it. Then Elijah said to Elisha, stay here, for the Lord has told me to go to the Jordan River. But again, Elisha replied, as surely as the Lord lives and you yourselves live, I will never leave you. So they went on together. 50 men from the group of prophets also went and watched from a distance as Elijah and Elisha stopped beside the Jordan River. Then Elijah folded his cloak together, struck the water with it. The river divided, and the two of them went across on dry ground. Amazing. There's an exclamation point there in Scripture. How many of you know that that's my favorite? What do you call those things? Punctuation marks. I always love the exclamation point. I'd like to draw your attention to it. When they came to the other side, Elijah said to Elisha, tell me what I can do for you before I'm taken away. And I think it's in this passage of Scripture that we sort of clue in why Elisha would not leave him. At least one of the reasons. Tell me what I can do for you before I'm taken away. And Elisha replied, he doesn't have to say, let me get back to you. He knows. Please let me inherit a double share of your spirit and become your successor. You have asked a difficult thing, Elijah replied. If you see me when I'm taken from you, then you will get your request. But if not, then you won't. As they were walking along and talking, suddenly a chariot of fire appeared, drawn by horses of fire. And it drove between the two men, separating them. And Elijah was carried by a whirlwind into heaven. But Elisha saw it. And he cried out, my father, my father, I see the chariots and the charioteers of Israel. And as they disappeared from sight, Elisha tore his clothes in distress. And Elisha picked up Elijah's cloak, which had fallen when he was taken up. Then Elisha returned to the bank of the Jordan River, and he struck the water with Elijah's cloak and cried out, where is the Lord, the God of Elijah? And then the river divided. And Elisha went across, And when the group of prophets from Jericho saw this from a distance and what happened, they exclaimed, "Elijah's spirit rests upon Elisha." And they went to meet him and bowed to the ground before him. It's such an interesting story. And I find it amazing how many times that Elijah told Elisha to stay where he was, and yet Elisha said, "No way, I'm coming with you." It seems as though the heart of Elisha was being tested. And what is revealed is that this man had a burning passion to receive Elijah's anointing. In fact, he was so passionate about it, he asked for double. He didn't even just want Elijah's, he wanted double. Let me ask you this question. Would Elisha have received the double portion if he would have stayed home? No, he would not have. If he would have stayed in one of those places when Elijah said, "Hey, why don't you stay?" I don't think he would have received it. He received the anointing, he received the mantle, he received the calling because he positioned himself to receive it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And this week we have some mighty men and some mighty women of God who we partner with. They're coming to share their lives with us. They're not just coming to hang out. They are here to leave a deposit in each and every one of us. These are men and women who've pioneered in difficult places, in lonely places. These are people who've moved in the power of the Holy Spirit. These are people who've laid their lives down for the kingdom of God. These are people with a passion for the nations, with a passion for the broken, with a passion for church planting, with a passion for all sorts of things. They are people in our generation who are living and have lived lives of purpose and significance in the kingdom of God. They have lived in the gospel of power, and I believe that God wants to impart something to us through them. And he will, if we have the heart of Elisha that comes ready to receive it, that comes with an expectation, that comes with hunger. God is looking for more workers who are available, that he can call, that he can impart his grace upon. Do you not think he will give us his grace if we come and say, "God, I want what's in them"? Of course he will. And to me, it's a major part about what that weekend is about. Kate and Alden Ludwig were on our stage last week. They're our partners running the Love Lives Here bus ministry in Regina. These are incredible people. They are some of my heroes. And how did they get involved? Do you know? It was because they came to one of the very first Global Impact celebrations we ever had. And they heard a man, the late Perry Hubick, share what God was doing on the streets of Regina. And they received an impartation that day and picked up the ministry as a result. We have families in this church that have adopted children because one year Renee Liu came to our Global Impact celebration, shared her story, and God used it to impart his heart for the orphan to those people in our congregation. Those are just a couple of examples. But if you're just coming to be entertained, well, what's on the schedule this weekend? How great is the dessert really going to be on Saturday? If you're just coming to be entertained, church, you're missing the point. You're missing the point. If you're not coming because, "Well, I went there last year, I've gone to at least 15 out of the 17. You're missing the point. You don't know what God is going to do, and you don't know when he's going to do it. The question is whether you will position yourself to receive it. By the way, church, this doesn't just apply for Global Impact Celebration. It applies for every time we gather. Every time we gather. Do you just come in on Sunday morning with your Tim Hortons? "Oh my gosh, 45 minutes, we can do this." Or do you come with a heart to receive? It always amazes me how two people can hear the same message and one person says, "That did nothing for me." And the other one is like, "Oh my God, I saw the heavens opened." It all has to do with the heart to receive. the hunger that you come with. God is moved by hunger. I'm looking at the people that are coming and saying, God, these are people that have lived the gospel of power. I want their passion. I don't know how Kate and Alden keep getting up and staying out to all hours of the morning on a Friday night. How did they do that? I want that passion. I want that anointing. I want their faith. I want their discipline. I want a greater impartation in my own life. I'm excited about Terrell Smith coming to our conference this year to share her story about how God has called her to our nation, Canada. You know, this woman has a gift of boldness. I keep telling her that. I think it's your greatest gift, Terrell. There's just, you have a gift to be bold, a willingness to take big risks for God. And she's going to share in this church next Sunday morning. And I've already told her, Terrell, I don't want a vision cast for Globe, for Come Together. I've been casting that vision. And you're going to cast it over the weekend. On Sunday morning, I want you to preach. I want you to come as an evangelist, and I want you to impart your boldness and your courage to us as a church. Terrell is a pure evangelist. I don't know if I'm a pure evangelist. I'm a pastor evangelist. She's a pure evangelist. She preaches the gospel at anything that breathes. She's got such a heart for the souls of men. And I want that same heart in my life. And I want the heartbeat that's within her for the souls of men to be the heartbeat of this church. And so I told her, I want an altar call next Sunday morning, and I want a prayer of impartation. She'll be sharing her story at other times in the weekend. It's going to inspire you. I'm excited that we have Pastor Andrew with us from the Ukraine. This is a man who has stood in the middle of war and continued to preach the gospel and minister to the poor. His church has gone from 50 to over 500 since Russia started dropping bombs on Ukraine. He has something to impart to us about perseverance and faith. Francis Magwanya will be preaching on Friday night. From his wheelchair, a man who, I believe it was somewhere around the age of 9 or 11, became paralyzed because of polio. And God has raised him up in his nation to lead the charge for seeing men and women like him who've been crawling in the dirt their whole lives have mobility. And as they give wheelchairs away, sharing the love of God, the hope of Jesus Christ. He has something to impart to us about overcoming great odds and physical limitations. He has something to impart to those of us who face impossible situations in our own lives. I could go on and on. And parents, I've talked with Hope, who leads our children's ministry. Can I tell you that Hope blesses the socks off of me? She's so passionate about your kids. She doesn't want to just entertain your kids. She wants your kids to have an impartation. And she gave me a whole write-up about what she hopes will happen in the kids this weekend. She's going to have some of our partners come and share their stories with the kids so they can rub shoulders and be infected with their passion. I believe God's going to do something in their hearts as well. Bring your kids out. Church, this is a weekend that we have on our calendar where we are positioning ourselves to receive an impartation of the fire of the Holy Spirit. Don't miss what God is doing. Come ready to receive from the Lord. You will get out of it what you put into it. And I really want to challenge some of our young people as well. What I'm talking about this morning is not about an old person's thing. The call of God to preach the gospel to all the nations of the world is a call for every believer. I don't care what age you are. And some of you, even in your 20s, let me tell you, there was a time when I was in my 20s when I responded to every single altar call, whether it mattered or not.
I remember saying to God, even if it's a prayer for fertility, I'm coming forward. Because there was something in my heart that said, God, I want to serve you. I want your grace. I want your gifting. I want your calling on my life. And so I'm going to respond to show you I'm hungry. I'm hungry. Some of these people have years of experience. And I know that if you come and say, Terrell, would you lay your hands on me? I want that heart of evangelism. Kate and Alden, would you lay your hands on me so my heart would break for the lost and the lonely? Would you lay your hands on me? I could, Attila, that I would have the willingness to even leave my country and go to a new place and work in a hard place. Would you lay your hands on me? If you would come with that spirit, with that heart, with that hunger, God would do something in you. Let me tell you something. I'm preaching today. I'm preaching today. This is the passion of my heart. So give me a break here. Let me let out a secret to you. Ever since the beginning of Global Impact, we have taken on a church plant. We helped planted a church in Calgary. We helped plant a church in Edmonton. We helped planted a church in Conception Bay, South Newfoundland. Right now we're helping plant a church in Spokane. All LifeLinks churches that we got involved in, gave a lot of resources to, and really helped them get off the ground. You know what one of my dreams is? That there would be a church planter rise up from within Harvest City Church that would become one of our global impact partners, that we would send with a team of people from our church, maybe empty out a section and just move them somewhere in the nation of Canada. You know, we want to plant churches all across Canada. We have LifeLinks goes sort of to the edge of Ontario, or to the edge of Manitoba, then nothing all the way to Newfoundland. Ian Bird has a passion for hub churches, LifeLinks churches across Canada. Something in my heart says, what if there's a young person in this church that has a call, and 15 others or 20 others hear Moses and Cindy talk this weekend about how God sent them to Spokane as church planters, and something gets in your heart, and one day we go, remember that Global Impact celebration? God got something in me when Moses laid his hands on me, and we send you with about 50 people. That's just a dream. God, speak to some people. Wouldn't it be awesome? Harvest City plants the first LifeLinks church in Ontario, in Quebec. Ah, God, stir us! Okay, number two. Global Impact comes once a year. Suck it up, people. Let's go. Number two. The Global Impact Celebration is about more than being inspired by great. This is important. It's a time to give. It's a time to give. I've been all talking about receive, receive, receive. Now let's talk about give. The Global Impact Celebration is about more than being inspired by great stories and receiving an impartation. It's also a time where we come together as a church, as one, to sow into the nations with the resources God has given us. On our own, we're like a drop of water. But when we join together, we become a river of blessing. And God has called us to preach the gospel and make disciples of all nations. It cannot be done without resources. Church, if there's no money, there's no ministry. That's the reality. Our resources, as I mentioned, are planting churches, feeding the poor, clothing the orphan, proclaiming the gospel. And this weekend, we're going to hear some amazing stories of what God has done through our partners. But without resources, they'd have no stories to tell. And so, church, don't get weary in well-doing. Let's get even more generous. Let's sacrifice so that the Great Commission can be fulfilled through us. We have a big goal this year to raise at least $300,000. If we have the slide on the screen, you can see that we've divided the money into various places based on our partners. I won't take the time to go through each one of those today, but you'll notice that even under the special projects this year, we have 30,000 designated for Come Together for our stadium event in our own city. 18,000 is there to continue to support Andrew and his efforts in the Ukraine. Nepal as well. We've been putting on a conference there every year. We want to continue to do that. Those are a part of our special projects as well as all of our other partners. It's a big goal. And the budget is set according to our Global Impact Executive Committee. We look at the different needs and we determine how we're going to carve the pie up. And of course, if we get more resources, we just give more. You know, we were able to give to Come Together in the stadium event 30,000 already because there was some times, especially during COVID, when we had so much resources come in that it left us with a bit of a pot that we were able to bless people with. But that pot is running dry, let me tell you. Next Sunday, we're going to take up our faith commitment offering. You don't have to give money physically next Sunday, although you can if you want. But next Sunday, we're going to be asking you to make a faith commitment to God, not to us, to God. I guess sort of to us, because we need to know what it is. But it's the commitment is to God. We're not following it up with you going, you said, we've never done that. The commitment is to God as to what you believe you can give over the course of this year to go towards our goal. If you want to make your commitment, your pledge before for next year, before next Sunday, you can go onto our church website, harvestcity.ca, already and make it. Any money you give until Friday of this week is going to count for this past year. So if you're wanting to give for 24, 25, wait until Friday and then it rolls into the next year. But make sure whatever you do, when you give money, literally, don't give without first filling out what your faith commitment pledge is, because that's how we really know how much money we have to deal with for accurate budgeting over the course of the year. But I want to encourage you to be in prayer this week about what God wants you to give. I'm serious about that. Take some time. You have 7 days. Take some time to say, God, what do you want me to do this year? If you can't make next Sunday, you can call into the office and you can make your commitment that way, or as I said, you can do it online. But when we sow into these ministries, we're sowing into the advancement of the gospel. And I believe, church, that you're making the best use of your money because you're investing in eternal things. I don't think there's anything better you can give to. But church, the Global Impact Celebration is not just about giving financially. This is a time when we want to sow into our partners personally. We want to inspire them. We want to encourage them. Guess what, church? We have some things we can impart to them as well. And I want them to go home with an impartation. They're working hard. They're fighting on the front lines, and the attacks are many. Discouragement is constantly upon them. Weariness wants to consume them. And when they come to this event and they see a whole church behind them, I'm telling you, it lifts their spirits and they go home with renewed strength for the battle. And this is another reason why it is so important that you come and be a part. Just your presence sitting in the seat matters. It speaks. It encourages. When the events are well attended, it gives the sense to our partners that you're noticed, that you're loved, that you're appreciated. The whole church is behind you. And when you come, it inspires us as a congregation. Look at how every one of us is pulling together. By God's grace, God has given us many resources and a rich deposit of gifting and faith to give away. And when we rally together and stand with someone, we give courage, confidence. It's so significant that it's hard to even understand. But every Sunday at the end of our Global Impact Celebration, we do a debrief with our partners. And without fail, for 17 years, they said, we look forward to this event more than anything else on our church calendar because we go home strengthened, encouraged, inspired. You have an amazing church. That's what we hear every year. You see, church, this weekend is not all about you. Don't just be a consumer. Be a participant. Come ready to give a word of encouragement. You lay your hands on Kate and Alden, and you lay your hands on Attila, and you lay your hands on Francis Maguania, and impart faith and courage and boldness and vision to them. Tell them that you're behind them. Telling them that you're praying for them. I'm telling you, you will give them courage. You breathe life into them. Church, when you come and serve and contribute and give of your time and resources, you're sowing into the kingdom of God and you're sowing into our partners personally. Your attendance and participation matters. Don't let the devil tell you differently. Yeah, you heard it. Joel said, if I don't come this weekend, the devil made me do it. You know, there is something about momentum and synergy that happens, that's created when we all come together for a great purpose. I'm at the end. Church, let me summarize by saying this is not a time to be complacent and apathetic. It's not a time to be weary and well-doing. We have a great mission to fulfill. We have a gospel of power that needs to be preached. We need, I believe, as a church, a fresh impartation of the fire of the Holy Spirit. We need to give our lives for a cause that's greater than ourselves. And that's what this whole weekend is about. So don't lose your global focus. Keep your spiritual fervor in serving the Lord. We've spent thousands of dollars to bring in our partners for an amazing weekend. We have many volunteers. We need 31 more, but we've got almost all the volunteers in place who are putting in hours of work, believing that God is doing something amazing. If you want to be one of those final 31, please sign up, talk to Jenny, go online, Church Center app, and fill in one of those spots. Our partners have some amazing stories to share about the power of the gospel. Don't miss out. Come ready to receive from the Lord. Last thing I want to just say to you. When we put up the slide for the giving, you might have noticed, where's Doug and Kim Paradise on that slide? You see their picture in the course on our wall out there. I give you a bit of an update in September about Doug's health and some of the difficulties he was having, even in just getting to the bank to receive funds and just not being able to do that. Parkinson's has really taken a hold on Doug, and because of that, his movement is very restricted, pretty much housebound now. And certainly in the last 6 months, his mobility has been even more limited. And so the work that he was doing through Hidden People Ministries cannot look the same anymore. Doug and Kim have been some of our partners for 15 years. Almost from the very beginning of Global Focus, as it used to be called. But they're more than that. Doug and Kim are our good friends. They're part of our church family. You know, they consider Harvest City Church their home church. They might even be tuning in now. They often tune in on Sundays. Pastor Anatoly visited them recently in Vietnam. We sent Anatoly to see what was going on in Vietnam, to talk with Doug and Kim personally, and it was such a blessing for Tolik to connect with them in person. And it's been quite a few years since we could get there, and they had a great conversation and talked a lot about what it could look like to redefine our partnerships in that part of the world. Many of you know Ram Chandra. He's come on video. We haven't been able to get him on person, but I've met Ram in Pakistan, and we've put on this conference in Nepal, and my dad's been there many times, and Doug really sees Ram as the guy in that area. We do too. We love Ram, and so we're working even with him on some of the legalities and how we can maybe make him a partner officially one day and help support him better. But we want you to know that Doug and Kim send their love to you. We want you to know that they're financially stable by the grace of God, navigating through, taking one day at a time with the health issues. Doug still is believing that God's going to touch him and he'll get on that plane and come one day. But we want to take some time during this Global Impact Celebration to honor them. Normally, when a partnership ends, we have the partners here, but they can't come. So we're going to take some time during the celebration to honor them and thank them for 15 years of fruitful ministry together. And today you'll see in our church foyer, right where the picture wall is there of our partners, there's a brown journal. And we would love for you to take some time this week and on the weekend to write a message to Doug and Kim personally. If you received an impartation from them over the years, if you've been encouraged by them over the years, would you tell them? We want to send them a book of blessing, thanking them for their service, for what they've meant to us, sharing how they've impacted us, along with some other things. So just wanted to let you know about that. Would you stand to your feet this morning? I'm way over time. I hope that God was in it today. No claps, okay. My mom. I knew my mom would be into it. This is her heartbeat. Father, I thank you so much for what you've done in 17 years. Incredible. Lord, when we were weeping in Wolseley, we had no clue. We had no clue what you were doing. We had no clue. We saw it through a veil. There was a glimpse through a glass. God, this has been amazing. God, today I pray for an impartation for this church, a fresh impartation, a vision of passion for our city streets, for our nation, and for the nations of the world. God, would you continue to send us. And God, I pray that you would do something so powerful next weekend. I pray there would be a fresh impartation of zeal and passion, that the gifting and the calling and the things that are in our partners would get into us. And God, at the same time, I pray that we would impart something to them, that it would be a beautiful time of giving and taking and sharing and blessing, that we would send them all home with great courage, with great boldness, and with great confidence, and that together we would see your kingdom come and your will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. We pray this today in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Bless you, church. Have a great week. See you on the weekend.
Well, that brings us to the end of our time together. We hope that you found insight and had moments that spoke to you right where you needed it. Before you go, share the love and post this inspiring video to your page. Who knows how many lives could be impacted by it? And if you aren't already, like, follow, and turn on your social media notifications to keep up to date on all the exciting things happening at our church. Here at Harvest City, we're all about connecting with our community and celebrating those big moments. Like if you've recently decided to fully dedicate your life to Jesus, we'll be your cheerleaders and help you take those first steps. And if you're going through a tough season, let us know how we can help you. Plus, we've got tons of programs for kids, youth, and adults if you're looking for a new community to be part of. To send us a message or check out more about HCC, head over to our website, harvestcity.ca. To all of our financial partners, thank you for investing into the kingdom of God. Your generosity allows us to keep doing what we're called to do and reach even more people. If you're interested in contributing, please visit harvestcity.ca/giving for more info. Thanks for being here. Keep living your call, and we'll catch you again soon.